What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at 1 Kings 12 and 13, and what we see is another transfer of power from Solomon to his son Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam has some choices to make as he begins his time as king. Is he going to keep the taxation the same? Is he going to change some of his father's policies? Well, we're going to see what he does. And he's got some options, and one of the options is to make it easier for the citizens of Israel to be taxed a little bit less, for them to be a little bit more prosperous on their own, and then he has that option. The problem is, if he does that, it makes him look weak, and the young men of the kingdom say, no, you should have them be more taxed. And he listens to the young men instead of listening to the advice of the old men, and because of it, the kingdom splits officially. It really started with Solomon's sin back in the last chapter. In chapter 11, we see God promised the kingdom's going to split, but now we're going to see how it happens. And this is how it happens. Rehoboam makes a foolish choice. He should not have done this, but he does listen to the young men instead of the old men. And because of that, the kingdom is divided. So that means from now on, we're going to have Judah in the south and Israel in the north. Israel in the north is most of the tribes, but Judah in the south is going to grow to basically be half of the kingdom size. So it isn't quite that big right now, but what we're going to see is the kingdom in the south does a little bit better because they serve God a little bit better than the kingdom in the north. And what that starts out with is, especially here in chapter 12, Jeroboam, who's leading the northern kingdom now, as promised in yesterday's DBR, he is going to set up some different worship centers. Specifically, he's going to have two worship centers in the south, one in the south, one in the north, Dan and Bethel. And the reason he sets them up this way is because the people are going to start to come down to Jerusalem for the festivals, and Jeroboam doesn't want that. He says, you know, if the people are going to go down and worship God at the festivals in Jerusalem, they're going to soon turn back to David and his family and Judah. So what I need to do is make sure there's something easier, more convenient, and better for them to worship at. So he creates two golden calves. One he puts in Bethel in the south, one he puts in Dan in the north, and the people are now, it's easier for them to get to those two places than it is for them to get to Jerusalem. Bethel is kind of at the southern part of the area of the northern kingdom, so it's kind of in the middle of the kingdom where Jerusalem's down here. So if you had to get to Jerusalem, it would have been easier for you to go through Bethel. So this is a smart political decision, although it's a terrible religious and moral decision. He should not have done this. This was evil of Jeroboam to do. But we see in verse chapter 13, which is one of the weirdest chapters in the Bible. Okay, if you just want a weird chapter in the Bible, this is a weird chapter. And I'll do my best to explain what happens here. It says we get a man of God, is how he's described. Some type of prophet. And he is sent to go talk to Jeroboam. And what he promises to Jeroboam is that there's going to be this son that's going to be born named Josiah. And this person named Josiah is going to break down this idolatry. So Josiah, you might know, well, there's King Josiah, right? He's born 300 years later. So this man of God calls it 300 years before, not because he calls it by guessing some name. He calls it because God gives him this prophecy. And it says, as Jeroboam is about to take this guy out for saying something so evil against him, his hand dries up. So something happens to his hand, it stops working. And when his hand dries up and stops working, he pleads with this man of God, please, please have God heal my hand. So God does heal his hand, and things are good for Jeroboam with his hand specifically. But it says that God commanded this man of God, now leave, get out of here, and don't stay at anybody's house. Don't eat any food. Don't eat any water anywhere. Just go straight out of here. And as he's going out, there's a prophet from the town of Bethel, which is where this new religious center is. He sends some people out and says, go get that man of God. Let's bring him back here. And they say, the man of God says, well, no, God said I can't do it. And he said, well, I'm a man of God too, and God told me that you totally could. And so he says, okay. So he agrees to do this. He should not have done that. He comes, eats, and drinks at this guy's house, and the prophet says, you shouldn't have listened to me. You should have listened to God, not me. It was some kind of test that this guy gave him from God specifically. And it seems like after this, the text tells us that when he leaves, he's killed by a lion. This man of God that was just the one doing the prophecy against Jeroboam, now he's killed because he doesn't obey God. And what always comes up at the end is, okay, what does this mean? Like, why did this happen? Is this just some random story that's included for no reason? I don't think it's for no reason, but it is a very odd story. And I think the lesson for us in this story is when God tells you to do something specifically, don't choose to reject that. Like, if God tells you something, don't give up on what God says, something that you know for sure God says, to do something that you don't know if God says to do it. And this man of God certainly does that, and he gets in trouble for it. Very foolish of him. It reminds us of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 says that even if an angel were to come and preach a different gospel than the one that you've heard, even if someone claimed to be from God saying something that I said wasn't true at the beginning, let him be accursed. Like, we're not even going to listen to him. So the same thing is true for us today. If we're reading the Bible and understanding the doctrines of the Bible and the teaching of God, and someone comes along and says, well, I'm a person from God, and you know what the Bible said about that? That's not completely true. You should do something else. What we should say is, just like this man of God, we don't want to do anything that God says not to do. So we're going to avoid that as much as we can. Even sometimes avoiding those people, just like this man of God should have avoided this other prophet of God. So crazy story here in chapter 13, but let's check out in the New Testament. We're finishing the book of Luke today. Luke 24 says we finish, because what happens here is Jesus has already showed up to the disciples. Now the disciples are in the room with Jesus, which is crazy. And as they talk to him, and as they feel his hands and his side and everything else, they believe. And once they believe and start to understand this, Jesus explains the Old Testament to them. Just like he did with those other disciples, he opens their minds to the scriptures, which is a super important truth. Things that Peter and the disciples did not understand before Jesus died, now they understand. And that's why there's such a big difference, I think, between the apostles in the book of Acts and the apostles in the Gospels. What changed? Well, the Spirit came, for sure, that's a huge change, but also they understood the Bible because Jesus explained to them the Old Testament scriptures that concerned himself. Super important. And really, they're going to go out into the world and they're going to become his witnesses, and they're going to be armed with the knowledge of God's word to do that. And it presents a similar thing for us, right? If we're going to be witnesses for Jesus in our world, we need to be armed with the truth of God's word. Now, Jesus is not here to teach you the Old Testament, just like he was for these people, and it's a little different circumstance, but we need to be diligent to know what the Old Testament says about Jesus and what the New Testament teaches about Jesus, and also what the Old and New Testament teach about everything else. We need to do a good job of that so that we can be prepared to be good witnesses for Jesus. Because a lot of people are afraid to share the truth about Jesus because they feel like they don't know enough about Jesus themselves. While that's usually just an excuse and not true, it can be true for some people. So we need to make sure we know enough about Jesus to share the truth about him. Because if that's our mission here on this earth, we definitely need to spend some time every day reading God's word, which is why I'm glad you're reading God's word today. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.